Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play with smart communities. The future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hi, Smart Community friends. I'm back with another bonus episode of the Smart Community Podcast that brings together multiple guest answers to the question, where to next for smart cities and communities? And this time, I'm sharing with you the answers from a number of our guests earlier this year. So we have answers from Abel Imaraj, which he was in episode 108, Natalie Maligan, episode 95, Aileen Gemma-Smith, episode 119, Chris Cooper from episode 92, Flora Salim from episode 112, Jacob Baskin from 98, and Joachim Alvarez from episode 86. There's a few main themes that come up over and over again in this podcast, and these are reflected here with various guests' answers. The three themes that Abel mentions are trust, engagement, and partnerships. And these are common threads throughout these clips. I always ask guests how we can better integrate across the different disciplines. And many of these guests mentioned the need to continue to work together, communicate, break down silos, to do all this in order to solve the problems of our communities. The other interesting theme from this selection of clips is the idea of the interaction between human behavior and technology. We always talk about the technology sector moving people's behavior. But Chris shares a great example of people's behavior moving the technology sector with an example of how SMS was adopted. Jacob also makes this point about us being proactive and setting the rules of the game for technology rather than letting technology guide our decisions. Now, we put this selection together with the theme from Movember, so moving from now to what's next for smart cities and communities. I hope you enjoy these guest reflections on where they see smart cities and communities heading in the future. And as always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Where to next for smart communities?
Yeah, I think we sort of touched on this. So there's no surprises here, I don't think, as in what we're next. The things that we're going to have to put an emphasis on next is how do we maintain trust? There's a big issue in the fact that trust in institutions is reducing. And that's across almost any institution you can think of. When you get issues in privacy or fake news or corruption or just unethical behavior within institutions, the main problem for smart communities is going to be, you know, there's a good solution there, but who do we trust to deliver that solution? And how do we know that we can trust them? So that's going to be a big issue that's facing us next in our journey towards smart communities. The second one is engagement, and part of addressing that trust is about how do you engage with the citizens of an area, of a community? How can you connect those that are now unconnected or disconnected? So it could be, how do you connect Brisbane with its catchments, the people that live up in the Lockyer Valley or Somerset, or those that live in Moreton Bay? How do you connect them and how do you engage them in this? So that's the big challenge for the smart communities, because the key word being communities, it's really about how do you create that community. So trust and engagement. And I think if you can get those two things happening, then we could be creating good partnerships. So a smart community is full of partnerships. There's everything from, you know, co-designing the transition plans all the way through to co-delivering services. There are partnerships in there. So the circular economy is completely reliant on having those good partnerships. You can't just contract your way through circular economies. There have to be partnerships, shared risk, managing that whole logistics of supply chains to delivery chains, value chains. And they can't be simply operating on our current understanding of economics and saying, well, you know, as long as you're going to make a dollar, you should be okay. That's not how it's going to work. So I think these are the three things I'd say are the next big things for smart communities to become real: trust, engagement, and partnerships.
Where to next for smart cities and communities?
Yeah, I think it's to continue the conversation and to continue to have things like this podcast and to have open forums with government and industry players to really start looking for people to combine solutions together. It's not going to be one company or one government who's going to be able to solve these issues. They're really tough. So I think it's just continuing the conversation, continuing to set up the forums and the investment vehicles for startups who have great solutions in this space, and then continuing to find ways to allow technology change to happen. So as I mentioned, governments being open to change and really finding ways to make it work, obviously with the right social protections, but finding ways to make it safe and to happen rather than to resist the change. And that's what's really exciting, is that's what we're seeing in Australia and New Zealand.
So where to next for smart cities and communities?
Bringing it all together, right? So bringing it all together in terms of, are we thinking about data literacy? Are we thinking about data fluency? Are we thinking about, let's establish meaningful partnerships so we can iterate and do more things together, right? Because, you know, right now we have a moment, we have an opportunity. My whole company was started 7 years ago because Hurricane Sandy hit my hometown. And I saw firsthand, okay, folks need access to information and it's not happening. We've got to do something. In an era of, you've got a lot of concerns with climate change and what have you, what can we do so we're on the front foot in terms of preparation, so when the next Sandy or whatever kind of climate event hits, instead of scrambling for how do you get the information to the right folks, how do you deliver limited resources to the folks most in critical need, we can act on that much more effectively than we have in the past. That's where I see the hope and the potential for smart cities, but obviously it's a long road ahead. And the only way to be successful at it is to say, let's partner with good folks and all work on these hard problems together.
Where to next for smart cities or smart communities?
I am hopeful that we can start seeing several trends. One, where we start clustering around excellent, cool solutions in more than one place. So we can start getting this idea of new brands coming out. And this could be anything from digital signage to cool apps or new ways of delivering joined up services that break down the silo, that bring together energy, mobility, that's transport, healthcare and education. So we start thinking about smart cities in my silos and we just focus on putting a smile on people's faces and then look back and say, well, we used a little bit of all of these things to make that happen. And this is the outcome that we achieved. And these are the ways that we did it. And then we can start evolving into that new conversation, which is that boast of why my outcome is better than your outcome. And that becomes a more interesting debate because it will be based on empirical statements rather than conjectured sentiment. That would be pretty cool. But we're eons away from that. But hey, look, these things can happen really, really quickly. Who knows?
Yeah. It's hard to predict the future, like considering if you go back, say, 10 years ago, whatever, some of the things that we're doing today that you wouldn't even be able to think of back then or, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to be a cynic here. And I think, so I remember when I first started doing transport stuff, it was all about SCADA, which is quite an analog or proprietary way of taking information from something that's far away and bringing it back to a central processor and then making an informed decision about it and then spewing out an output. We now call that the Internet of Things. I've been in the IT game quite a long time now, scary, but my first job was managing mainframes, which were really just clouds of shared compute resource that many terminals then plugged into. Then we saw client server. Then we saw the rise of the mobile app, and now everyone's talking about cloud computing and cheap compute. Everything just goes in these cycles. So I think we can predict the future in terms of this is where we can see technology going. I think the surprise things are, how do you ensure that technology's there is used in the appropriate way? And the example I give is SMS. SMS was set up, I think, by Vodafone as a way of testing the network. And then they were surprised when people started using it to communicate, because why would they use text messaging when they had a phone? The phone was the communications device. And now our mobile networks don't really deal with voice calls anymore. And most of the mobile networks are focused on connecting to a fixed line communications network because of the data backhaul they need to do. And cables are just pretty cool until you get 5G, which is another story and another podcast for someone to enjoy. But we were always constantly surprised, the futurist technologists, by using technology in a way that people didn't predict, because that's why humans are cool, because we're different and a bit funky and crazy, and that's what makes things interesting.
I like that perspective, like the technology's there, but how are people actually going to use it? And I think, yeah, a lot of the time technologies pass or fail or become ubiquitous or not, because not that they're the best or the worst or whatever, but people just grab onto it because for some reason it's all, you know, about the timing.
It is, yeah, you're right. It's so about that point in time. You could use that technology. I don't know, when I was a kid, and my parents used to worry about how much screen time you'd have because you'd be watching telly. And their parents worry about the corruption of rock and roll records and how they were listening to them. Now, our kids are probably playing too much Fortnite. You know, everyone's got their own hang-up, and we seem to have bumbled through these different phases of technology use and adoption. So who knows what's going to happen next, but it's going to be cool. There's some really cool stuff happening, and that's going to, I think, shape our future a lot more than we could probably understand at the moment.
Where to next for smart cities or smart communities?
That's a very open-ended question.
It is.
I guess I'm not sure how we can put, basically now, like, we've got our smartphones in our hands, right? We are so immersed with this device on our hands that it's all just about me. Mainly the social media and all these things has made people becoming more narcissistic rather than being more engaged. So how can we put smart cities in the hands of people and getting them to be more engaged? I think that's the biggest question. And basically, at the end of the day, we want to make our life more sustainable as well, right? The cities more sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. So where to next for smart cities?
So I think that the next step, I would kind of say that the first wave of smart cities was this sort of hardware pilot mania. And I know I've dumped a lot on hardware, but I'm going to keep doing it a little bit. You know, we see a lot of pilot projects. There's one in San Francisco where they were putting in sensors to understand the occupancy of their parking spaces on the curb. And this is great. Like, this is super important data. But the way that the city did it wasn't really scalable. So I think that what's going to happen next is that all of these pilot projects, people are going to start learning about them. And the next step is that the cities are going to move from really, you know, being, you know, thinking, well, I have to get the latest and greatest thing. I have to be on the cutting edge. I have to spend a bunch of money deploying a particular smart thing, whether that's a smart thermostat or a smart traffic light. And instead think about how doing the things we were talking about earlier, of how can I set the rules of the game so that smart stuff happens in my city? And so that when my citizens embrace new technology, which they're definitely going to do on their own, I don't have to tell them to do that. But when they embrace that technology, how can we as the city make sure that they do it in a way that's positive for the people around them instead of negative? And that moving from being the people, you know, putting shovels in the ground to being the people setting the rules of the game, I think that's really going to be what happens next. And I think that there's tremendous scope for that to be very positive for cities everywhere. The thing about the stuff in the ground is that it depreciates, and especially with technology. Probably by the time you put it in, it's obsolete. So why should the city be taking that risk? Why shouldn't the city just build an ecosystem where that kind of stuff happens, where someone else can take the risk that their smart hardware is going to go obsolete and they're going to have to, you know, go into the walls and replace it all the time? And instead, the city can just create an ecosystem where these things work together and where they work for the benefit of citizens.
Where to next for smart cities, smart communities? What's the next thing, the next step?
The next step. This is very interesting because I think that nowadays we are at an inflection point when it comes to what is next in the smart cities. For me, in smart cities, the next step, it depends on the government. I have a point of view on the development of the smart cities, and I have like a clear three points of view on how a smart city can be developed. I don't think that all the smart cities will be developed at the same way and in the same direction, but it will depend on the government of each city or each country, if you want. For example, let's put the examples on the table, because with examples, it's always clear. Take the example of China, for example. Look at that society.
that society is all the private companies have to give all the data to the government, so the government have a completely control of everything that happens in the city. Happens in the city and happens all over the country. This is one of the developments that you can have as a smart city. Then you have another line of action, for example, where all the big private companies like Uber, Facebook, all these companies that work in the smart city scope, like Uber, for example, or another car sharing or whoever the company is, that they manage the city, or they could manage the city, because at the end they have all the knowledge. And then if you have the knowledge, you have the power to manage a little bit the city. And then you have another point of view that is when you empower the citizen, you teach them about these technologies, and it's the citizen who has all the power of inside of the city, and you have a really collaborative city and entrepreneurial city, right? So it depends. We have different lines of action here, and it will depend on the government and the decisions that they will make against data and against all the ethics that they will use on technology.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community or find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter @smartcompod. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears, so thank you in advance. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.